Yeah, thanks to the band. I heard that song and I said, man, why don't you guys just start playing that Sunday morning when we're getting in here together. It's great to see you. Welcome to the journey. I hope the road of this past week has been a good one to you. And we're just really glad you're here and part of this. And for those of you who maybe are new to Journey today, well, guess what? This is all very new to us. We've only been in here a handful of weeks. And we are, this isn't good. Kevin won't get into that. Kevin, the Vanderhags, this is Kyle and Amy. And Kevin, the boy here, their oldest, they're part of our house church. And even though we're together every week, this is what we get every week. He comes in. It's like 51st dates, you know. You got to start all over with him again. Did we get Melissa and the kids when she came in? Were you all saying that?
I'd like to thank my mom. We've
just been having a little fun with the space, and we've been saying this when we get started. If people come in late, when they come in, you know, we'll make it like cheers, and we'll just everybody says their name and but now if we don't know your name, we're just gonna shout out all kinds of things, and hopefully, we'll get it covered. So, but it's great to see you. If we don't know you, if we haven't had a chance to meet you, please connect with us afterwards before you take off. Just let us know who you are and how you heard about Journey. And we got people all the way from Illinois, Tampico, Illinois here today. Laura's parents are here. They come in, fly in from all over the place just to be part of Journey. Little by little, we're just making more progress. Eventually, we'd love to see this become a coffee house here, and we'll use it as we can. We've got kids in here and kids there, and possibility maybe of someday, some point, some kid space a few doors down, and just it's kind of an adventure for us. And thanks for being patient. If you have any questions about kind of what's going on and what's the future hold, see us afterward. And in each Sunday, you'll hear a little bit, you know, even a little bit more about it. And when we're done this morning, just walk through, take a tour. We finally got moved into the office this week, and we're settling in there. And, you know, there's a little bit more to do. But anyway, okay, enough about all that. We use music. Music is a language that allows us to speak these things that we read in the Bible and that we discover just through life and how God is making Himself present in our lives. And we use these songs and this music to celebrate that, to learn about it, to all those kinds of things. You can't get it twice. You only get that once, you know, once a week. We have given you these sheets here. You know, a lot of times, I mean, we use the projector and the but here's something we've talked about wanting to do. We really want our time of praising God and celebrating and worshiping Him by using song. There's a lot of ways we worship, and worship means a lot of things. But what we want to be able to do is give you kind of a, I don't know, it's like a little tool for you to go, oh, okay. The titles of the songs, even the words of the songs, be able to say when we're talking about something, or maybe if there's just something on your heart or on your mind, you go, it would be great to be able to use this as a way of praising, of worshiping, of celebrating, of communicating those kinds of things, of learning about it. So we want you to be able to interact a little bit with us. It was really hilarious last week. When we opened the floor up, and I think one of the first suggestions we had to shoot it down, we just weren't ready to handle that one. But we'll do the best we can, and that's an important part of what we do when we meet together and gather together. So, okay. We've got something a little different today, special. We've been doing, because of just where God has brought Journey and some of these big changes and transitions and how we want to do ministry in the community and how we are going to be a community, a faith community together, we've been saying, let's remember again, what's this big story that God is God is telling all throughout the Bible, really all throughout history. And then what is our place in that story? And how are we to be a part of it and respond to what God's dream and vision is? And so as we've been doing that, we particularly the last week or so, we're starting to talk about kind of the work of the Spirit of God in our lives and making it so that church isn't this thing you just go do once a week. You know, church isn't something you go to, right? It's who you are. It's a way in which we live, and it's what God is doing in us. And so we're going to continue that. But today we've got something a little different. We have some just great people, cool people who are part of Journey. All of you are. But particularly some of the college, the younger ones, they've just got so much that God is doing in their lives, and they have some neat things to share with us. Missy Marquez in particular today is going to tell us a little bit kind of her story and what's been going on lately, particularly this last summer in her life, and some things that I think will challenge us and speak to us and give us a greater picture of what it means to just love God and love our neighbor and so forth. So we're going to do that today, but thought maybe we'd start our time with, I want to pray. And we can do a little music if you'd like, maybe.
I know what somebody might want to do.
Okay.
And then we'll pray and then we can kind of go into that.
All right. Remember, we come together and there's so much going on in this room right now. Think about it. I mean, I've talked to people already this morning who've had just a terrible week. Okay. And this morning's been hard on them. And I talk to people who come, and they're just like, man, bubbly, and this is great, and I'm excited to be here. There's all kinds of things happening here. And for some reason, God, for reasons known only to God Himself, He has put each of us in this place, in this time, even in this space together today. Okay, so what we're saying is we really want to be part of this together. If you've had a bad week, and you're part of the body of Christ, as am I, you know what? I need to kind of bear that burden with you, right? If you've had a great week, what does the Bible say to us? We celebrate that together. We rejoice with those who rejoice. So that's what we want our time, particularly to start with this morning, to be about. So if maybe there's something, even a song that you go, hey, this just kind of speaks to what's been going on in my life or where I'm at even in this moment, can we do this song?
Grace Like Rain.
Grace Like Rain. What's that? Here I Am to Worship. All right. Well, you got those two? Okay, we'll hit those two. I would love to pray. What's that?
We didn't practice them. Okay. We'll hit them.
That's right. Well, we got a couple you did practice, and you guys can lead us in that too. But hey, by the way, because I am seeing some fresh faces today, my name is Chad. Okay, I'm one of the pastors here at Journey. And anybody want to give a shout out to anyone else? Kind of a quick hi. You know, you kind of had to find your chair when you came in. You didn't get to say hi to somebody you want to say hi to?
Hey, Justin.
Deb, over here, Marlia. Okay, all right. Let me pray, okay? Pray, and we will celebrate from there. Lord, we thank you that you have, for reasons sufficient to yourself, you've divinely appointed these moments and this day. And Lord, we come bearing so much, and we hear even a baby crying over there, and somebody's not having a good day. And we, Lord, we just want to open our lives up to you, our hearts and our minds, whatever things, wherever our heart and our mind would go today. God, we pray that you'd meet us there. And we pray that we would hear you speak into the midst of all that. We thank you for your Spirit and just the promise of being present with us. God, you want to accomplish something great today in our lives. Help us to be open to it. We want to be a church family that says, God, we are here. We are here as performers to you, before you. And we want to praise you and worship you and offer ourselves up to you and ask that you would respond in the way that you desire to. So, God, we begin this morning. We pray that you'd be pleased with everything. And we ask it all and pray it all in the name of Christ. Amen. You know, I just want to take a minute. You know, I said last week that, remember I told you the story about the girl who went to the baseball game with her dad the very first time ever, and and it was one of those promotion days, and they were giving out the free baseball gloves, and the girl cried because she said, "I don't want to play, I just want to watch." And I use the analogy of how, you know, when we meet together as the church, it isn't about coming and watching. In a sense, God, the Spirit of God wants to hand you a ball glove and say, you're here to play. You're here to be part of this thing, you know. Get out on the field. And while all of life really represents that, and we come together, we want it to be something that you don't come to watch Chad or Brad or the band or whatever. Each person just has a different role to play. And I guess, fortunately for me, I get to put a microphone on and do that thing, you know. But I want to take a minute to just open it up. Are there things, maybe something that you, I don't know, it's just so heavy in your life or so good, and you just want to share that, and we can pray about it. We can celebrate that together. Anything. And come on, your lives aren't that boring, okay? Good or bad, okay? There's something going on. Anybody?
I'm kind of celebrating this morning because my son, Grant, and some of you know, and his newly married wife just rented a house right by Josh and us.
Okay, all right. Good. Yep, sticking around. Good, good. Just happy to have your family, right? Good. Yeah, yeah. Good, good. What else? Somebody in there needs prayer. Right?
What? It's the worker.
That's all right. That's all right. It's, yeah, yeah.
I recognize that.
Yeah.
When you hear some pass.
Anybody? Anybody else? Yeah, Dan.
I just want to thank the Lord for the ways He blesses me every day.
Cool.
In my voice.
Good.
You know, you don't just bless us. You make sure that we realize we're being blessed. It makes it even
yeah.
better.
Good.
In our daily needs.
Good. Good. And your boy falling out of a tree?
Spraying my ankle, and my boy falling out of the tree on Friday and spreading his ankle. And God is just carried through it. And it's just
Wow. Good. Good. Okay. Tracy? Thanks.
Okay, so we already know what they talked before about. I had brain aneurysm about a year and a half ago. And it had bled out, which put me in a bad way in the hospital. There was a time when I didn't think I was going to make it, and it was on a Saturday, and my aunt, who's big on prayer, came down, got a cab, and came down to see me, and they let the family members come in. They don't remember much. There's one thing I do remember, and she prayed over me, and she touched me. Mm. And the only thing I remember from that whole day is how comforting that prayer was.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the people that I work with have prayer visions for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what's
mm-hmm.
Cool. And to this day, I remember that prayer.
Yeah.
On all the prayers that
took
for hours.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, great. And that is exactly the kind of thing that we want to be able to do, whether it be a physical illness or just, life, you know, life's been crazy and chaotic or whatever. To just be able to, I mean, even if it's, you know, putting your hand on someone's shoulder and saying, man, let's pray, or maybe we as a group can pray for you. So I like that, you know, she's big on prayer. Yeah. Well, we should be, you know. And prayer is not this, like, you know, you throw in kind of a spiritual quarter, you know, like God's a cosmic vending machine kind of thing. No, prayer is the, you know, we're going to be in conversation with the one who's created us and the one who's up to something in our lives, and to just say, God, I want to participate in that. I want to be a part of it, whatever it is. And that was God's doing in your life, and that's great. and the things it has led you to now. Wonderful. Anybody else?
I thank God that my family's been brought up in a Christian environment, and they continue that with their family, teach their kids to do the same.
Good. Good. That's great, Terry. That's Laura's mom, so, or Laura's dad. So now, Laura. the pressure's on. Yeah. No, that's great. That's very good. And we would all hope that for our kids. Deb.
I thank God. 2 days ago, I got my first results. And I think that's good. And they don't know what it is.
Wow. Oh, praise the Lord. I was going to say, you've been carrying that by yourself. All these are great. Can somebody just say a prayer of thanksgiving to God? Can we do that? Somebody? I mean, I know you can. I guess what I'm asking is, will you, somebody, do that? All right. Thank you, Kaylee.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, God, with thankful hearts, Lord. We just thank you for every person in this room, God, and just the amazing ways that you're working in everyone's life, God. I just pray that you continue to guide us and just help us to come to you, God, just with our needs. And I just pray that we would be a support for each other, God, and just give us courage to share what's on our hearts and what you've been doing and just the help that we need, God. We thank you for your love and your grace in our lives, Lord, and your miracles every day, God. We just love you and thank you. And pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Good. I'll give any one more chance. Somebody else? All right. I want to get Missy going, and I'd love for her to kind of be able to tell a little bit of what's been going on and what God's done in her life as she's getting ready. By the way, moving into the office this week, you start cleaning through things. I've got two Bibles that I'm not needing, don't want. Anybody want to get their hands on them? Anybody need one? I'll tell you what. Okay. Grab and look, and the one you don't want, just throw on the table there if anybody wants it. Not this brown one, because that's my wife's. But, okay. But you're welcome to do that. Yeah, hold on. Wait. All right, great. Go ahead. What? No. Do you want the stool? Do you want the stand? Anything like that? All right.
That way I can reset my thing.
All right. You can take that.
It's a different room. Everyone's kind of behind.
Yeah, well, it's
it is kind of
just
weird.
Right in the center. Then.
All right. Well, hi, I'm Missy. Oh, this is kind of strange. I'm going to go back here so I can see everyone. I'm Missy Marquez. I've been going to the Journey almost since the beginning. And I'm a junior at Cornerstone University, so right up the road. I go there with Kaylee. That's my roommate in the blue. So this summer, well, I have pictures, too. I'm going to put up that first picture just for now. That's me drinking coconut milk. This year, I've had the chance to go to Costa Rica twice, which has been such an amazing blessing. I went in March with a group from Cornerstone. We went on with Kaylee as well. We went on a missions trip with an organization called Pura Vida Missions down in Costa Rica. And I also got to go back as a summer staff this summer for 6 weeks, which was amazing. And so I was kind of on the other end before I was on the missions trip, and then afterwards in the summer I was a missions trip leader each week. So if you want to just go to the next one, I can... This is our staff. This summer we had about 20 of us, and we're all between 18 and 25, I think, is the oldest. So we're all mostly college students or just out of college. So that was really exciting. And in the middle, if you could go to the next slide, too. These are the missionaries. That's Delin and Gloria and Carmelinda. They're missionaries in Costa Rica. They've been there for 5 years. They're from Ohio. And this is some of the property that they're looking to build on for their new base camp. So I'll talk about that a little bit more later, but that's what Costa Rica looks like. It's beautiful. It's absolutely gorgeous. But Delin and Gloria and Carmelinda, what their mission is they're running this place called Pura Vida. And what it is, it's a discipleship ministry for Canadian and American youth. So their focus is also on influencing the Costa Rican church and encouraging the people there. But their main mission is discipling youth, because short-term mission trips, they can help the people down there, but it's really about the group that goes down and really impacting the youth that come. If you want to go to the next picture, that's the base right there. It's called Elijah's Cave. And what the three goals of the ministry are to have youth expand their worldview. A lot of the people that we had this summer, it was their first time out of the U.S. We had some eighth graders that they're so brave. I wouldn't have gone out of the country as an eighth grader, but they got to really open their eyes to see what the world looks like, what God's church looks like, which is very different from what our churches here look like a lot of times. Some of them are very, like all the Vineyard churches are very much like the Vineyard churches here, but other than that, they're a lot different. And then their second goal was to have students get out of their comfort zone. So we would try as hard as we could. If they were very confident kids, we would push them really hard to get out of their comfort zone. If they were very scared, we'd try not to cause a breakdown. But we tried to have them out of their comfort zone so they could kind of learn more about God in a different way. And then the third one was to have them grow closer to the heart of the Father. We really wanted this to be a time where they would have space to get to know God's heart. So we made sure there was 45 minutes of quiet time every day, which is something I miss so much now that I'm back to school. It's hard to do that when you don't have it scheduled in your day. So those are the goals for the youth. And the next slide shows we had 300 youth come in. The picture's kind of hard to see, but it goes all the way to the back. This is our cafeteria. And we had 300 high schoolers mostly come through this summer. This week we had 100 kids, which is a lot. It's a lot to be doing ministry with. And the theme was recklessly abandoned, which it was talking about discipleship and just being recklessly lost in who God wants us to be and just kind of giving up who we are and finding that in God. And so we would go over the views of God, like what is the disciples' view of God? Do we have a healthy view of God? We'd go over a little bit about missions. We'd go over a little bit about discipleship. And so they would be at our base camp for 2.5 days. We'd do 2.5 days of training. We'd teach them how to give their testimony, how to write out their testimony, which a lot of them had never done before, which I encourage you, if you've never just written out your story, it's really cool. It's powerful for some of the teens even to write it out for the first time. And then we would teach them a drama that we could use out on the street. They were dramas without words so that anyone could understand them. And they were very powerful because Costa Ricans are very dramatic. They're Latinos, so they like to talk and they like to interact. And so dramas were a really cool way to reach them because they could get engaged in it. There was music. There was all the stuff going on. So that was a really cool part of our ministry.
Hey, Missy, can I ask you a quick question? You talk about kind of doing this learning, discovering about having healthy views about God. I mean, what kinds of things, how did you do that? I mean, because I think that's something all of us would go, yeah, I guess I'd like to know if I have a healthy view of God.
Yeah. We had two sessions, and one session was on God's transcendence. He called it the big words about God. The first one was transcendence, that God is a God that is above all, that He is in charge of everything, that He knows what's going on in our lives, and that He has a plan for us. As we talked a lot about in that session, just do we have this God? Like, a lot of times we focus about the love of God, but do we have this view of God that is so powerful, that is so much above everything else, that we can put our trust in Him because He is so big and so so mighty? And so that was a really different thought for a lot of the kids because a lot of the times we focus on the love of God. And we did that too. Mm-hmm. But that was a really cool part. And that was something that I struggle with, is trusting God, like with my future and with my life. And so that was always a cool thing for me too, just to see this summer how powerful God is and how big He is. Mm. And that we can't ignore that side. And then the second session would be God's imminence, which is that God is with us. He is a loving Father. We talked a lot about talking with the teens, like how their own relationship with their father affected their relationship with God. And we would just talk about the fact that God is a perfect and loving Father, and that He's with us, And so we did those both of those sessions in the same day, and we had to have students really meditate on those. Like, God is a God that is above all, but He is also with us. And we serve a wild God that can be both of those things at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of what we talked about as a healthy view of God.
Good.
After those 2.5 days, we would go out on outreaches for a week. We would do different things on usually Saturday and Sunday. This is me with some of the youth group girls. So they're so fun. The youth groups in Costa Rica are amazing. The youth are really where God is moving in the churches in Costa Rica. They're so excited and so passionate for God. So on Saturday and Sunday, we'd have the kids hang out with the youth group, which is always really funny. They'd always be so afraid at first, but then by the end of the week, everyone's crying and sobbing and giving emails and speaking English and Spanish, and that was really fun. And then on Sunday, we would do a church service. Should I talk a little bit about what the church services are like? Or?
You are welcome to do that.
The church services are very different. They're 3 hours long. So, yeah, it's good. But sometimes when you're wiped out, they're long. But it's really cool. The Latin church is very relational. And on Sunday, like, what they want to do is go to church, hang out with the people at church, and then the rest of Sunday they hang out with their family. Like, no one does anything besides hang out with their family on Sundays, which is really, really cool. Huh. We would go over to host families, and then all of a sudden you're like, yeah, this is my brother, this is my cousin, here's my grandma, my two aunts, this is our second cousin. Like, everyone would come, extended family comes over to the house. And the church services are generally more, how to describe it. It's not necessarily charismatic, if that makes sense, that language makes sense to you guys.
It's not white.
Yeah, not so white.
It's not so white, I guess that's what it is. And it depends on the churches, too, because we would work with some Mennonite churches, which are more conservative, like kind of like our Amish here. Not necessarily, but... and then some of them would be more like people falling down. It just depended on the church, and so we kind of just had to be willing to work with whatever and tell the high school students that this is how it always is so that they wouldn't. But it was just really interesting because different people worship in different ways. Mm-hmm. Their prayer, no matter where you go in Costa Rica, when they all pray out loud at the same time. So when the pastor's praying, they all pray at the same time as the pastor. When the pastor finishes, then everyone stops praying. Mm. So it was different to get used to that.
Wow.
And you do get used to it, but it's hard to focus at first because everyone's talking. But even at Grace, I was at a host family, and they asked me to say Grace, and I started praying, and they started praying out loud with me. And I was like, okay, thank you, Jesus. But it's good. It's a cool way. It's a more relational church. They're very affectionate, very excited, always jumping around and dancing. It's a cool thing. And so then after Sunday, they would go with host families, which was our main goal, was to get them to interact with people. That's a good way to get them out of their comfort zone, is put them in a host family for 5 hours. That doesn't speak English, and they don't speak Spanish, but that was a really cool way to see the hospitality of the people there. They were so giving, and these houses were not nice. Like, they would be spending so much of their money to pay for these kids to eat with them, so that was really cool. And I think the youth would just get so blessed by that because, you know, most of us have so much, and they would just be, like, putting on the Ritz, like, all is like dessert and food and gifts, and they're just very, very hospitable. So that was a cool part. If you have the next picture. The next thing, during the week, we would do vacation Bible school. And that was really fun. It was a little crazy. We would do... We would do a lot of... It's a lot like our vacation Bible schools here, where you do dances and motions. And this one, I was... running back. I was leading the VBS, but then you run around and dance with the kids. And this week we had 90 kids every day. So it was a small community, but it was a really big VBS, Vacation Bible School. And we would do crafts and a story and dramas, and then that could really get the youth involved. Go to the next slide. This is some of my beautiful Costa Rican kids. This is another Vacation Bible School, and the next picture shows where these kids lived. This is the community where they live, and this was one of our like toughest weeks working with the kids there. Most of the kids that live in those kind of slums are Nicaraguan. Nicaragua is like right by Costa Rica, but it's a lot more poor. Costa Rica their average income, I think, is monthly income is about $400 per family, but then in Nicaragua, it's only $40 a month,
wow.
American dollars. So they come to Costa Rica for a better life, and they usually live in these shanty towns. And so we were working, and this particular shanty town had a lot of problems with drugs. So a lot of these kids were like drug dealers' kids. So it was really interesting week. They would have like drug insignia like shaved in their heads and stuff like that, like who their parents were. And it was kind of a crazy week, but that was just a really cool way to serve them. You really felt like you were making a difference because most of these kids had never heard Bible stories, and they had never heard, like a lot of them didn't know how to sing and dance and stuff like that, which was really, like, really tough. They didn't really know how to be kids. So that was cool for that week. By the end, they were dancing and singing. But at first, like, they wouldn't dance, they wouldn't smile, a lot of them. So the next picture, I think, that's another vacation Bible school. Then 40, they, like, broke it down by percentages. 40% of the week would be doing work projects. Because we had a lot of Mennonite kids, a lot of Mennonite churches, and they come from a church tradition where they can work really, really hard, and so that's not out of their comfort zone. So we tried to keep work to only about 40%. This was sanding a church. We built a fence, landscaping, painting, all different kinds of work projects. You can go to the next slide, too. We would pick up trash, wash the walls at clinics, just kind of whatever the church needed. They would apply to the mission, and we would do that. I think you can go to the next slide. Then in the afternoons, after we had done the work project, we would do a variety of things. One of them was they would perform their dramas at open air. So this was just on the street. People would just crowd around. This was just in the community, the more drug community. And we would have a speaker, and we would do the drama, and then we would give testimonies. So I would translate, like, they would give their testimony in English, and I would translate it in Spanish for them, and that was really cool. And then we'd usually do, like, a call to receive Christ at the end. So that was a really neat way. We would usually, there's a square in every town, and we'd usually do the drama in the square there. And taxis would be pulling up, and buses, and they would park right by and watch the drama and then go. So it was something small, but definitely impactful. And we would also do house-to-house prayer, which is something that is definitely gets you out of your comfort zone, but was so powerful. We would literally go house to house, knock on people's... Well, you don't knock there. You say upe. No one knocks. Because a lot of people have gates because of the theft and stuff. So everyone has gates, so you just yell upe. It's not really a word in Spanish. I don't really... It's just like a sound. It's like knock, knock, kind of. So you yell upe, and they come out, and we would just say, you know, we're with the evangelical church down the road. We're praying for people. And is there anything we can pray about? And people were, I can't imagine, I don't know. I think you could definitely do it here in the U.S., but I'd be really curious to see the response, because at first some people would be like, why are you praying for us? You're like, well, you know, we're just walking around praying for people. Just, is there anything we can pray for? You'd be like, well, no, and you could just keep asking questions, and eventually people would give you prayer requests. And we would just pray for these people, and it was just a really, really powerful thing because it wasn't like evangelism. It wasn't like, here's the gospel, like, we want you to be converted right here. How DeLynn always put it was, we're giving people the one thing that we have, which is access to the Father. We have such an intimate relationship with God, and we have that access to Him for our needs. And a lot of these people may not have if they weren't Christians. And so most of the time, people will just tell you their whole life story, and it was just really powerful to be able to pray for them. The kids would pray in English, and then I would pray for them in Spanish afterwards. And it was really, really cool, especially in, it was just interesting by income level. When we were in the poor, the poor areas, that is where people were most hungry for God, and it was really neat to see that. Like, we would be going in the shanty towns. I think you can go to the next one. This is in one of the other areas where we worked two of the different weeks, and this is where we would do house-to-house prayer a lot. People there would just tell you everything. Like, this is what's going on. These are the, like, my kids are sick. My husband's gone. It's just, there's a lot of brokenness. And they would be very, very willing to pray. But then in some of the richer neighborhoods we would go, people wouldn't be as willing to pray. So it's kind of interesting. We worked in this town a lot, and we actually built a new bridge because that bridge was not very good, not very safe. So that was house-to-house prayer. We would also do, I think you can go to the next one. These are some of the kids and where they lived. Those kids, at least the middle, or the at least the right two are Nicaraguan because they have darker skin. They have darker skin and flatter noses. That's how you can tell, but they have a hard time, all the Nicaraguans do, because they can't get medical care. They're technically illegal immigrants, so they don't get medical care. They don't own this land. They're technically squatting on it, so they can get kicked out by the government. There's just a lot of crime, a lot of stuff that goes on there. So that's it. We also did something called servant evangelism, which I love, servant evangelism. I'm a very big fan of servant evangelism. And what that is finding something practical and small that you can do to show people the love of Christ. And because of the language barrier, there wasn't a lot that the kids could do to evangelize people. But we had little cards that said free on the top, and they said, "We're trying to show the love of Jesus in a practical way. If there's anything you need, please let us know. God bless you." And so the kids would read it. We would teach them how to read the card. And they would read the card, and then we would usually give something away. A lot of times we did pop. We gave away Big Cola, which is like, it comes in 3.1 liter gallons. That's not really a word. And so we would actually just pour it from there into cups and hand those out on the street. And people were very receptive to that. And at first, everyone is kind of like, well, especially in Costa Rica, nothing is free. Nothing is free. And so they would be like, well, I don't know if I want any. Like, well, it's free. Don't worry, it's free. And they'd say, really? It's free? And you're like, yeah, it's for you. And you'd give it to them. And then maybe they would, sometimes they would talk to you, and sometimes they'd be like, okay. And then they'd walk away. But what happens is, in servant evangelism, is they have that card, they have that conversation, and they say to their friend, yeah, so these weird Christians today on the side of the road, they gave me this pop, and they said they're trying to show me God's love. Isn't that weird? And it sparks the conversation. And what we saw is, like, sometimes people would come to the churches after that because they're like, well, I want to see what these crazy Christians are all about. Or we had some people that would have their friends come up to them at the churches and be like, well, sure, I know you asked me to go to church, but I wasn't really sure what you Christians were about. Well, these crazy American teenagers today gave me some free pop, or washed my windows. We washed windows on taxis. We washed store windows. We picked up trash. We would give away free school supplies, just really little things like that. We'd give away coffee at the coffee break, kind of around 3 o'clock. We'd go to the bus stations, give away free coffee. Just a lot of different things like that, give away free food. And people were so receptive to that. So it was something really small that really made a big difference. And we saw people that came to the churches for the prayer meetings or for the Sunday night services because of that. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk. Let's see, I think I have another picture too. With servant evangelism, I really want to encourage you guys today that this is something that can be done here as well and can be done with kids. Our last week that we were there, we had families. We had about 6 or 7 families from the missionaries' church, and I was in charge of the kids, and I had 8 kids between 3 and 7, and we did ministry in Costa Rica for that week. The parents did work projects, and we took the kids out and did ministry. And so these are kids. This little one's 5, and those 2 girls are 7, and they're passing out free pop to the people on the street, and they would just love it. They would run out with the card that said, "Jesus loves you," and they would give them the card. And there's another picture, too, of them. How do you say no? That was our 3-year-old. He was our best evangelist, let me tell you. Because we would send him out, and people would say no, no, no to, like, 5 of the kids. And he would just go like this and hold the pop up, and people would take it. And it was a really cool experience. We took the kids out. We picked up trash. The kids washed windows as far as they could reach, and then the adults would do the top. The kids would give out free toys at the elementary school. So I just want to encourage you guys that servant evangelism is something that we can do here, just to figure out creative ways, and kids can get involved. These kids were so excited. The missionary's daughter actually led it. She was 7, so that was an interesting experience leading with a 7-year-old who was very strong-willed. But she did a great job as a leader, and we would take the kids out. And so even if you have kids, they can get involved, they can get excited. Here's the next picture was, we had leftover pancakes from one of our breakfasts, so the kids went out and we gave them to the beggars. She was a lady that was a drug addict that was begging outside of the mall. There's lots of people that beg outside the mall. And so those are the kids handing her pancakes. So they had no fear. Like, they were safe. But it was just awesome to see the kids had no fear of people that were different than them. They just gave what they had, and they were so excited about it. So that was a really cool experience there.
Matt, go back to the picture of the little boy holding the water. There you go. You know, isn't there something to this, though? I'm thinking a little bit. One of the reasons I asked Missy to share some of this with us today, let me tell you that first. This is a fifth Sunday. It's not, you know, it's only a few times a year that you get 5 Sundays in a month. And today is one. And our kind of vision and dream of how we will church together, in the future, as we've talked about kind of the, you know, meeting in homes, on Sunday mornings, every other week, all that kind of stuff. And don't worry about that right now. But we talked about how on a fifth Sunday, it would be great to allow those groups, you as a church that meets in a home, a smaller pocket of people to say, what are we going to do with this day? What are we going to do when we come together? Well, it's been a practice of Journey ever since we started to do things. For example, we've called, we've had some Sundays, we call them Servant Sundays, where we meet together. And the way we worship that day, the tools of worship might be a hammer or a saw or a paintbrush. And we go out, it's like the church leaves the building, right? And we go out and we be the church out in the community. And that's something that you don't just do once in a great while. It's really what we are to be all the time. Well, so when we get to that point, we have fifth Sundays, we'll let you guys as house churches be deciding on that. But I said it'd be great to have Melissa just share today what, you know, this idea and all that she experienced and all that she does. And I knew she was going to talk about this idea of just serving others and helping to meet needs. Now, I agree with her. I think in our culture and in our country, it's received differently. Would you agree? Okay. Why is that? Why is it? What? Did you say? Oh, sorry.
We have it.
We have it. I've got... What do you mean? I've got a bank account. I've got a car I can drive away in today. I've got a decent home with food in my cupboard. I don't really need God, you know, right? I mean, we may never say that, but that's, for all practical purposes, how we live. Well, it's interesting. Think about this. Jesus says, there's so many things running through my mind here, but the less you have, and yet you're still willing to serve and give to another, that is a very powerful message. And so when Jesus says, everything you have, use it for the sake of the kingdom. Don't just go live a rich lifestyle. Don't just go better your own life and give yourself more comforts and so forth. Right? He says, everything you've got, use it for the sake of the kingdom. Because that's the picture you get. You see, when you become one who surrenders everything, and you go, you know, I'm not going to live dependent upon all those things so much as what little I do have, I can give to you, and I will give. That is a powerful picture. So maybe when Jesus says, you know, come as a little child would, be like a little child in the kingdom, okay, who isn't worried about bank accounts and car, you know, but says. I don't know, there's just something powerful about that picture. I think that's cool. Melissa, any other thing, maybe one last thing about how, because most of us aren't going to go to Costa Rica, right? But you know what? Costa Rican needs are really not that far from us. I mean, they're just down the street and all. Any other just kind of everyday life application type lesson that...
For some of these things, like for servant evangelism, it can be done here at things like, well, they actually have done it in the U.S., like get a case of pop and hand them out at a football game or whatever. Or, and I know we've kind of done something like that before, giving out free things at a football game, but just something like that, like, hey, God loves you, like simple things like that. Things like, just like, especially with our trailer park and stuff like that, going around there and just, like what we've been doing, the random acts of kindness, we did that a lot in Costa Rica, just seeing what the needs are and then meeting them, like, I don't know, simple things like we've been doing, well, kind of, I've done it once, but with our leftovers, like we have a lot of leftovers and we live right downtown, near downtown Grand Rapids, and we've just been going down there and giving those away to the some of the homeless people that are down there. There's a lot of little things that you can do. Just make, maybe you have like extra food, like you make an extra, a batch and you take it to some family down in the trailer park and like, hey, here you've been having a, like a tough week, here's dinner so you don't have to make it tonight. Just really simple things like that make a huge difference and bless people so much. So I guess just encouraging you to do that and just to pray. Like pray for your neighbors. Pray with them. It doesn't have to be maybe knocking on people's doors. Or maybe you try that. I don't know. Maybe that's something that you want to try. But just being like, hey, you know, we live next to each other. Is there anything I can pray for you about? Is there anything that's going good? Is there anything that's going bad? Because a lot of times, even if people are like, like Christianity, a lot of times praying is a lot more, what's the word I'm looking for? Non-threatening than like some kind of like gospel presentation. It's just showing these people that you care for them and you want to bring their needs before the Father. So I really encourage you guys to do that. And I'm trying to think of some other things.
No, I think that's great. I think if we just, even just seriously thinking, you know, I'm just going to start praying for my neighbor. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what God's going to do. But, you know, I never do that. And I need to. And trusting the Spirit of God to maybe, you know, get to work and do something. I think that's cool. A number of good things for us to think about as a church.
Yeah,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
You can just go. Well, that's just Costa Rica. But the last picture I wanted to show you guys, that's how pineapples grow, just in case. I never knew that until I went down to Costa Rica.
In the ground?
On the ground? Not in a tree.
No?
So I thought I'd just share that as a way to... ended up.
We've been lied to all this.
And it takes 15 months for one pineapple to grow. That's my my cool. Parting wisdom.
Man. Yeah, good. Hey, let's finish this morning. Let me remind you, first of all, we're going to pick up again next week. Some of just kind of continuing with the story and what is the Spirit of God doing now, today, in your life, in mine. We're going to continue with that. John, you guys did that song this morning. Do you want to say, maybe say a word or two about it and kind of why that song to you guys was it stood out, and then we can finish with that.
Yeah, good. Take a look at Here Is Our King. You know, we've been what's the mystery we've been talking about last couple weeks? Anybody remember what is the idea of the mystery that the story that's been told? Anybody remember?
The Holy Spirit,
and he is. Yeah, Christ in us. Great, good job. You know, take a look at some of the lyrics there, and you know, sometimes we talk about these songs. I mean, you know, hey, you might have liked it. It might have been a cool beat. It might have been, you know, just, you know, cool. Shannon might have sounded cool singing it, you know. But we want to kind of, you know, give a picture of what that's about. Yeah, Josh was cool playing the drums. That was awesome. But you know, this mystery. The mystery is told here. And we do have the Spirit. We do have Jesus here in us. Look at verse 1, you know, think about these questions. From wherever spring arrives and from wherever searching comes, we don't really have the answer to that. We don't know how spring arrives. We don't always know why we're searching or what we're searching for. You know, move on to the ocean is growing, the tide is coming again, that tide is coming in. We can't explain that. Well, I guess scientifically we can, but it just happens. And then and then here it is. And Jesus is here. And he's shown up to do some amazing things. And we want to be a part of that. It says, here is our king. And then, and by the way, there's a goof up in the lyrics. The second part of that is supposed to say, he is our king. It's up on the screen, but it's wrong in your lyrics. So sorry about that. But, you know, Jesus is here. Verse 2, and what was said to the rose to make it unfold? Well, you know, nothing except for that God, you know, created it that way. And that same thing is said, you know, to us here, you know, deep inside of our hearts. It's the Spirit in there, and he's saying, just let yourself grow, let yourself open. And again, to here is our King, and Jesus is here to do something, and we need to be intentional in a part of that. So a little bit of background on that song. I encourage you to, you know, just think about that this week, what that can look like in your life. You know, maybe some of these lyrics that, you know, might be floating around in your head. Take some time and then, you know, spend time just celebrating that and thanking God, thanking Jesus for being here to do something. So, hey, why don't you stand with us while we leave? Just celebrate that. Jesus is here. Celebrate with us.
Our Lord, we go out of this place and we pray that we would discover this week how, God, this work that you want to be doing, we pray that we would know you, even as the lyrics of that song said, God, that you would become our King, Lord, that you would be Lord, that we would know your majesty, your power in our lives. Might we just discover more of this mysterious thing that you are doing and drawing us to yourself and making us more like Christ. I pray that blessing upon each of us and that we would come back together next week and have much to celebrate and share as we continue to dig into your word and learn more of what that means. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you know what? Say hi to two people around you before you take off. Greet them. Tell them to have a good week. And God bless.